Hey, this is Rashad White. You're listening to Roster Watch.
Roster Watch Nation, what is up and welcome back to the Roster Watch Dynasty Show. Today we're going to be talking all about the Dynasty Top 250 running backs and what that means in the free agency realm, because we're about 1 month away, March 11th, from free agency being wide open. And this running back class is very interesting. We're going to talk about all of it. But first, click that like button, click subscribe if you are on podcast, leave a five-star review. I got the Trash Man with me. I'm Cody Carpentier. Let's jump into it, Trashman. How the hell you doing?
Can't complain, you know. A week removed from NFL football, and, you know, I haven't my hands, you know, I'm not shaking. I'm not showing signs of, missing football in that sense, you know, because we have this football still. You know, it just changed. It's like a butterfly, you know, it's like a caterpillar to a cocoon to, you know, was it a chrysalis? And then, you know,
there you go.
Butterfly, you know, we're just in another stage of development and growth.
Officially, when we record this pod, we are 210 days until meaningful NFL football comes again on September 10th. So, lots of podcasts between now and then, lots of pontificating and ideating on the Dynasty Top 250. But we're going to start that today. As I said, we're about 1 month out from March 11th, which is when officially free agency will open. We'll get the tampering, the legal tampering, or now what they're calling the negotiation period, opens up on March 9th. March 3rd is your franchise tag deadline. We'll start with that. I only see one running back that is in franchise tag conversation. If you do any research of reporting and stuff, it is, of course, the Super Bowl MVP, Ken Walker, who is in the conversation for that $14 million one-year franchise tag potentially. He, of course, during the Super Bowl celebration in Seattle the other day, him and John Schneider kind of had an interesting back and forth when Schneider said, you know, it was weird. I'm in the back and I'm not sober and Ken's trying to negotiate with me. And I was like, oh, well, that's interesting. So Josh Jacobs, James Cook got $12 million deals in the last couple of years. Like I said, a franchise tag for Ken Walker, who notoriously has dealt with groin and hamstring and ankle injuries in his career. A $14 million franchise tag for the Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks. Trashman, they don't have a lot of draft picks. I believe the draft pick number, I just had this up last night and then I closed out the sheet. I think they only have four draft picks this year. Do you think it's worth the franchise tag for a guy like Ken Walker?
I mean, he won them a Super Bowl. I mean, if there is going to be anything that you can, you know, hold over the heads, it's that. I think if not for Ken Walker, I don't know that that defense was lights out, but they weren't really doing much offensively. Otherwise, I mean, they were kicking field goals, sure. But I mean, Ken Walker was getting them down there. I think they should pay him. I think they should keep him around. And I think they probably will. Yeah, it's a Super Bowl MVP is a strong cologne.
The one thing I'll add to this is it is four draft picks. So they have a first, a second, a third, and then a sixth. That's it.
What do they need? They need receivers.
They don't really need a ton. They could definitely use a wide receiver too. I think they could use a cornerback, and they could always use a couple of linemen. Whether they like to admit it or not. The problem is, though, is that Zach Charbonnet tore his ACL less than a month ago. And the idea
what's the problem? The problem for who?
Seattle. Is that, like, if you don't retain a Ken Walker,
That's not a problem for Ken Walker.
Well, no, I know, but I'm talking about from a Seattle perspective of if they could franchise tag him or not. It's like if, you know, with Charbonnet tears his ACL early January, 9 months puts us in the middle of September before we, you know, unless he has some Adrian Peterson like comeback. Like, I just think the idea of him probably getting a franchise tag increased when that happened, and then he finishes out as the MVP. I would lean more into he's probably tagged, and then they probably try and work on some type of 3-year deal or so. But I've, you know, from a GM perspective, I would never be in line with paying a running back. Just kind of
these are extenuating circumstances.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with that. I think it's just a different situation where it's like where this team is at, what he means to the team, the run he had. It's a yeah. I mean, I think I would start with him and just say I think he's going to end up being franchise tagged and probably staying in Seattle.
Sure.
All right, let's move on to a couple of other running backs because this class is deep. And we've talked about it on a couple of other dynasty shows and other, you know, just general podcasts about what this class potentially looks like. So we got Breece Hall with the Jets or coming from the Jets, Travis Etienne, Jacksonville Jaguars, Javonte Williams with the Cowboys, J.K. Dobbins in Denver, Rico Dowdle in Carolina, Tyler Allgeier in Atlanta, Ken Gainwell in Pittsburgh, Rashad White in Tampa, Najee Harris back on the free agency from Los Angeles, among other names like Pacheco and Brian Robinson and Eckler and Hunt. It's deep, Trashman. Where do you want to start? Who's kind of someone you want to talk about and kind of get a thought out on and maybe have a landing spot for?
To me, it's a guy who's really interesting. The most interesting, intriguing agent to me, free agent to me, is Tyler Allgeier,
mm-hmm.
who, you know, in the 1B role in Atlanta these past few years has done well, has served his team well. And I think on a lot of other teams would be a marquee starting running back. You know, I'd like to see if given that role, what Tyler Allgeier can do. He's just like a stalwart, stout, just reliable running back. I mean, he kind of harkens back to running backs to me of like the 80s and 90s for whatever reason. So I think it'd be interesting. I think it'll be interesting to see where he was just because he's just kind of like an, I wouldn't say he's not an unproven commodity or an unknown commodity. I mean, we've seen glimpses of goodness, if not greatness there in Atlanta, but he's never had that opportunity to be the bell cow for a team. And I think he's one of the guys who, you know, could sneak in somewhere and become a marquee start. I think he's somebody who potentially you could get the best value on in Dynasty.
And that's from current price tag. I would say I would agree with you. The only pushback I'll say is we did get it 1 year. We got that first year. And that's what I've held on to is like the fact that we saw him in that year, obviously without Bijan, kind of run that backfield with Arthur Smith at the helm as far as play goes. And he has 225 touches. I would agree with you. Allgeier is like the number one guy that I'm looking forward to watching.
Yeah, but even then, he wasn't running solo back there.
Who was the back that was with him? Was Cordero just a year? Is he still there at that point? Let me look here. That was Cordero at 144 to Tyler Allgeier's 210 carries. Cordero had 8 touchdowns to Tyler Allgeier's 3. And then Mariota as a quarterback had 85 in that backfield as well. So, yeah, man, they ran the ball a lot. Caleb Huntley at 76. They ran the ball almost 570 times that year.
Yeah.
That's so much. But I think your point stands is that I really do think that when we look at this current draft class, which I've said multiple times, I'll say, I think it's tier one, Jeremiah Love from Notre Dame. Tier two is empty. And then tier three is just a grouping of like 5-6 dudes that are solid football players. But I think if you dropped any of these guys, if you drop Breece Hall at the current stage, you drop Etienne, I think you drop Allgeier. And I think that's probably my list. Those three guys I would drop into this class by themselves in their own situations. I would drop each of them into this class this year, and I think they would be the RB2 behind Love. Like clear cut, you know what you're getting. I would pay this guy rather than draft X. Like I would rather than draft Jadarian Price, who hasn't touched the ball but 225 times in his career, or rather than draft a broken foot Nick Singleton, or even though Cage Renown's had a good – like other than doing these things, I would rather sign – an Etienne or a Hall or an Allgeier. And I put Allgeier in that conversation.
Would you put Dowdle in that conversation?
Have I what?
Would you put Dowdle in that conversation?
I think Dowdle's very interesting because I think he's a very good two in a backfield, but I'm not sure that I trust him season long. And I said this during the year, you know, to y'all in our group chats. It's like, I think Dowdle's good, but I've never been the helium pumper. I've never been sitting out here pumping it for Dowdle. I think he's good in little windows of like, you know, I know this guy's gonna leave my backfield for 4 to 6 weeks. But for me, like going into a season with him for 16 to 18 games, I'm not sure I would trust and believe in that as much as I would with these other three.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. I mean,
would you put Dowdle in that group in totality of this class?
I would. I mean, the potential that he's shown to be a bell cow, you know, it's been undeniable. I mean, he's been a mixed bag. If you're talking on a year-to-year basis, sure, but it seems like he's coming to his own recently. It seems like he has the confidence if given, you know, that role. And I feel like I would put him up there with those guys, yeah.
All right. So interesting landing spot here, thought process is for Chase Brown in Cincinnati, they've been trying to put a bigger back, a 215, 220-pound guy in this backfield with him, and they tried it with Samaje. Of course, Zach Moss was there a couple of years ago. They draft Taj Brooks last year, who didn't really touch the field. What do you think about – like, that's like a spot where I think Rico Dowdle could do really well as being like the number two behind a Chase Brown.
Yeah, and then I don't think he's a number two there. I think he's a 1B there, if that's the case.
Ooh, okay. So we're just in different classes, really, on Dowdle. Like you think that what we saw in Carolina is like we can depend on that.
I think so. I think so. It's like any other player. I mean, it's like your Sam Darnolds or, you know, players who maybe just needed to find the right home or needed a couple years to kind of get their legs under them to figure things out. And it looks like Dowdle's figured things out.
Interesting. All right. As far as these top guys, would you say, I mean, I'm team Breece Hall, probably the top cat right here. And I've always kind of penciled him in kind of to Washington since about a year ago when we heard that Washington really had interest in him, from the trade market. When you look at draft picks right now, Washington's in a weird spot where they pick at 7, they don't pick again until 71, and then they're not up until 145. So they got two picks in the top, basically 140. And they have other pressing needs than running back, to where I think that they could end up spending on running back more than anything. And Breece Hall, I've seen attached to that as well. Is Breece Hall, you know, among this group? I'm not saying in dynasty or anything, but like as far as an overall running back, is Breece Hall, would you say, the best running back of this group ahead of ETN, ahead of Walker, ahead of, you know, Algier and Williams for you?
No. Not ahead of Walker for me. I mean, he's coming off a 1,000-yard season in 2025. If there's someone who hasn't, I mean, I owned him in fantasy this past year, and he became an afterthought in fantasy to me. He wasn't somebody who was like, okay, this is my last bullet in the chamber. I think he can get it done.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1,000,000%. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
He wasn't somebody I relied on a week-to-week basis. And I don't know if it was an aspect of him, you know, an artifact of him being in the offense that he was in. But he was just unreliable. If you can have boom or bust running backs, I think Breece Hall's kind of, for me, been the definition of that. And he's had his injuries too. He is one of these guys who is, you know, you think of him as a more kind of stout you know, between the tackles kind of guy who can break big ones. But he's, to me, he's come off as more as like one of these finely tuned machines that if one little thing's not working right, it's, you're not going to get, you know, top performance out of him. Some of these other guys, I would just feel better in a bad matchup, on a okay team would actually, you know, do some damage.
Interestingly enough, like the Jets thing, you know, if I would have just told you based on what we saw from the Jets this year, like, oh yeah, he had a 1,000-yard season, you know, his third consecutive over 1,300 from scrimmage. Pretty good year. But yeah, in reality, if you remember setting the lineup every single week, it was like, I don't even want to put him in because it felt like Braylon Allen was getting snaps or Isaiah Davis was getting snaps. In this group where I don't fully expect the Jets to go, you know, AWOL at running back if they don't retain Breece Hall, they potentially could draft one. I mean, they have three picks in the top 45. I guess you could draft a guy, but I don't think they're going to end up with Love. So is Braylon Allen, Isaiah Davis, like kind of, you think there's still some good, I think there's still some good value in those two guys right now. And like, as far as overall, you know, outlook and dynasty, where we have Braylon as a combination for both of us, right around 163 on average. And then Isaiah Davis, I think, is just a little bit lower than that. He's at 189 overall consensus, which puts him at about running back. I want to say that's like 45 or 50, I think, for Isaiah Davis, 54. And then that puts Braylon Allen at about 45, running back 45. I think those guys both, again, Isaiah Davis 25, Braylon Allen 22 this year. In 2026, like, I think Braylon Allen could benefit from a big boost if he makes it through the draft unscathed, maybe get jumped into the top 100 potentially.
No, definitely. I mean, not much has changed for the Jets otherwise. I mean, I mean, this probably isn't going to be a good football team in 2026.
You're not sold on the idea that Derek Carr might be coming back to play under Bill Musgrave, the guy who was the OC in, was it 2015 or 2014 when he was a MVP?
Derek Carr. I mean, when was the last time you were excited about Derek Carr?
Basically? Well, that's what I'm saying. This is the whole theory. This is the whole theory. I know you're not a big tweeter guy, but Bill Musgrave, he was like 70, was Derek Carr's offensive coordinator in 2015, that one year, right? When Derek Carr was a Super Bowl, or not a Super Bowl, geez, a MVP candidate. And so that's the theory, is that, well, Musgrave's back in New York as the quarterback coach. Maybe they'll get Derek Carr out of retirement. And instead of having to like trade for a Kyler or a Tua or ruling out Justin Fields.
I mean, if you want to hang your hat on that, go ahead.
I'm not hanging my hat on nothing other than maybe Garrett Wilson and that whole offense. But I do think Braylon Allen could bring.
I've never liked Derek Carr as an NFL quarterback or his brother.
Well, his brother got just bastardized in Houston. So,
well, I don't want to get started on the Carr legacy in the NFL. Much ado about nothing.
Legacy is a little bit of a stretch, maybe. Travis Etienne, the last one in this kind of top group, I think. In Jacksonville, age 27 season upcoming. I kind of like, you know, there's a little bit of kerfuffle out there about, you know, potentially a tag, but they also got Devin Lloyd, I think, who's up for a tag, and he's 27. And this kind of feels like a situation where he might just take, I don't know, $7.5-8 million on like a 2 or 3 year deal to stay with Trevor Lawrence and kind of extend this thing. They have their, They everything I've heard, I know Bashaul Tutin got some of the run last year, but they love LaQuint Allen as well from Syracuse, who was a rookie last year, I think 6th-round pick. They love him. And this new regime, I think, is closer to closing the door on Etienne than they are keeping it open. I would expect maybe a 1 year, maybe a 2 year if he stays, but I'm not sure if do you have a landing spot for Travis Etienne that would be beneficial to us in Dynasty? Is it maybe Denver?
I mean, I guess I could see Denver. I mean, I'm trying to think where else he could go where they could benefit from the back of.
Send him back to Carolina. You could play with his brother.
Maybe New Orleans.
Oh, gosh. Oh gosh, that's actually kind of a good spot. He'd kind of play in that. Oh, that would be the nails. If you could get him to go down there and play in the Kamara role, because we know he can catch passes. He's not as elite as Kamara is out of the backfield, but I mean, he was pretty prolific in college.
Yeah, and Kamara isn't the Kamara we've come to know and love anymore.
Kamara is a guy that you could see. You know, I'm not sure they could cut him. I think the numbers are pretty jacked up. I think it's like he's the last. The last grenade that needs to get thrown out of the building, or the last, you know, bad term here, but last bag of garbage that needs to get taken out from the whole cap hell and kicking the can down the road type of situation to get New Orleans kind of back to square one for 2027 to draft a quarterback. But
I mean, I could see him. I mean, the thing is, Travis, I mean, he had more scrimmage yards, I think, than Breece Hall did. In 2025. 1,300 yards from scrimmage in 2025.
I mean, he had much more playable weeks this last year than Breece Hall did. Breece Hall was a pain in the absolute ass to play.
Yeah.
And like ETN at least got hot at times and was playable. That's the big thing, I think. And it's like, as far as age goes, yeah, ETN's not going to give you that. But in Dynasty, it's like really what we're looking at right now is like in a 1-2 year window with an ETN. It just really depends on that landing spot. He was 13th in fantasy points per game this last year, bounced back from being 37th in 2024. He was 7th in 2023, his third 1,000-yard rushing season out of 4 years, another season of 35-plus receptions all 4 years in the NFL. He's done that. I mean, I still think there's a little fuel left in the tank for ETN. It just really depends on that landing spot. Like we said, I think New Orleans is very interesting. I actually think Arizona is kind of interesting. I wouldn't mind Carolina. Like, I think Rico's probably gone. They have Chuba under contract, but like, you get an ETN in there.
Don't they already have an ETN back there?
Yeah, they got his brother Trevor, but you know, and I'm not saying they're gonna. But again, they went out and got Rico on a good deal. I'm not saying that I'd love Carolina, but I'm just saying like, stylistically, I think he fits in that backfield when you say you have Chuba, who had injuries last year, and then you got Jonathan Brooks, who hasn't played in 2 years, and then you have Trevor Etienne, who's more of a bulldozing running back. Like, you know, who's your pass catching back out of that group? Like, it can be Etienne. That can be the longevity that continues his career. Is there another running back in the class that you kind of have your eyes on? Mine, I'll just say, is Sean Tucker, which, I mean, I think I'll probably only get maybe Byron on that. Like, Byron will probably still be holding out hope for Sean Tucker. I think Sean Tucker's a restricted free agent this year in Tampa. We talked about it. I think he's probably going to get a tender. So the tender history of the last couple of years is Jordan Mason and Jalen Warren both received second round tenders from the original teams. Jordan Mason from the Niners, Jalen Warren from the Steelers. And then Jordan Mason ended up getting traded to the Vikings. I think that was for a third or a fourth round pick this last year. I could see Tucker being in that situation where he does end up getting sent away because they love Bucky down there. I also could see where they tender him with a second round tender and nobody matches, nobody trades for him, and he stays in Tampa as the number two. So I kind of like either situation. He's 5'9", 207 pounds. We know he's got the dynamism with the 4.44 40, even though it's little Fugues running it on a high school track field, getting hand time by his buddies. He gave us 300 yards the last 2 years, and I think his dynamism, at least in a couple – again, here's the thing with Sean Tucker, as everybody should know or knows, is that it's the game log is maniacal, right? He had the game this year against Buffalo where he had 140 yards and three touchdowns. Then you go back to last year, it was against New Orleans, 192 yards and two touchdowns. It's like that 1 week with Sean Tucker, but I think for me, it's like I've seen enough in those two situations where like, if you can believe in Rico Dowdle more than I can in a 6-game sample, I think I can believe in Sean Tucker more than a 1-game sample up to that 6-game where it's like, I think he can be a two somewhere and a dynamic two at that. Kind of how you saw this year what Blake Corum did with Kyren, where it was like by the end of the year, when they would bring Corum in, he would be blitzing defenses for 8-9 yards at a rip. And it's like Sean Tucker can come in and do that with a chase. Elite audio right there, but he can do that with a guy like a Chase Brown, or I think about a situation like Minnesota. Like, you know, Aaron Jones feels like he's closer out the door than in it, but you put Sean Tucker in that backfield with Jordan Mason. Like, that's just a different dynamic to that backfield that I like for Sean Tucker. So any thoughts on Sean Tucker or any other running backs you got your eyes on?
I mean, Sean Tucker, I like him as a potential 1B in that offense. The thing is, I feel like the way they use him, the way they use Bucky are very kind of similar. I feel like he is kind of redundant in their eyes. But I think if he doesn't stick with the Buccaneers, I think he can go somewhere else and be a productive back. I mean, I almost would like him to go somewhere else where he could get a real shot. Another running back, but haven't really mentioned, Javonte Williams, a guy who actually had more yards than Saquon Barkley, than Travis Etienne, than Rico Dowdle on the ground last year. A guy who caught almost as many passes as Travis Etienne, one fewer pass than Travis Etienne. And one of the, you know, more dynamic offenses in the NFL. I'm interested to see where Javonte Williams goes. I mean, he's not dealing with the health issues that he's been plagued with throughout his career, at least up until Dallas. So Javonte Williams is interesting to me. I think he could go somewhere and be a relevant starter, a good starter, a potentially top 10 starter. He was right on the verge this past season. If he goes somewhere else than Dallas.
Let's finish it here. I'm going to give you, this is a on the fly segment brought to you by nobody, but we're going to do this. I'm going to name four running backs, and I just want you to let me know if the ship has sailed or not. So just say yes, the ship has sailed, or no, there's still faith. First running back is going to be Najee Harris.
Has the ship sailed?
Yeah.
For me, yes.
And this is like an in dynasty theory thing. Like, has the ship sailed as far as his expectation for landing spot? Will he be there in like day 10? And you're like, where, he ain't going to get in a spot. Wait until camp type of situation. You get the point. Isaiah Pacheco.
No.
Ty Chandler.
Was the ship ever there? I mean, it was a ghost ship, maybe.
The dynasty community loves Ty Chandler, and now he's a free agent, not in Minnesota, not buried.
I just don't see him getting a real shot anywhere.
That's fair. Kenny Gainwell.
No, the ship is not sailed. Gainwell to me is like a Chandler who actually, I don't know, contributes.
All right, last one. Has the ship sailed on J.K. Dobbins?
No.